And they went over there, and he started to let him run after him, or you know, those people knew how the feet of the tail-legged polar bear looked like. And they usually have a place where, you know, right in that tail-legged polar bear's trail on the paw, there used to be some round thing right in the middle of it. And then when the polar bear went in, you know, went out from the water, and when he seen him, when the polar bear seen him, and then, you know, he was really going after the polar bear, and he really wanted to get him. So he got this his knife, and he popped this polar bear's eyes, and then he started running after him, you know. And then he was even trying to climb up on top of the ice, and it cracked up because. And then when it finally get on top of the ice, he could smell the trail of that man, so he started going after him, you know. He started going after him, and then he knew it. I mean, you know, this is how this man went. So he started zigzagging and zigzagging so that this polar bear could tell that you know, he didn't want him to catch him. And then, in a way, he wanted to. He wanted him to be confused. And then every time he reached it where he'll run away from him a little bit. Every time he get to the places where he was zigzagging, he run away from him. But he wanted to take him to this place where he could get him cornered, you know, get this ten-legged polar bear cornered. And then he finally reached it. Just before he reached it, this man went to this place where he could trap the polar bear, and he went in there. And then when he went in there, he waited until he could make some. He made it himself nice and comfortable so that he could get ready to kill this polar bear when he got stepped in through these two cracks. And he waited for him. And then that scent of him was so strong that the polar bear really went after him, and he got stuck. And then when he got stuck on there, he went in back of him. He climbed up, went in back of him, and killed him through the back. Through his, where he goes to the bathroom. That's where he stuck that knife on there and kept sticking it in there until he killed him. That's where his tail was, is where he, on his tail, he kept hitting him and hitting him until he killed him. This story I have heard is from Kunulak, my father, and my name is Floyd Avakana, and the name of the story is about Point Hopers. There were these people that lived in Point Hope, and there were a lot of people in Point Hope that were living over there, and they had these place where they used to go eat. And there were this couple that were living alone. And they stayed by themselves. But they always went over there to the feasting ground and eat. And then they'll go out and hunt, and they'll also gather their food and everything. They took them over there, and they feed them to the rest of the people instead of keeping it to themselves. That's the tradition of a long time ago. And every day they'll go out hunting, and every time they go home, they'll go over to that feasting ground and eat. And their wives and so forth would take the food over there and everything. And they had a son, these two couple that we're talking about. And finally, there was a day they had gone up there to eat again, you know. That woman took some food up there to eat to that feasting ground. And there was this woman that had a husband that was a real good hunter. And then finally, it was in one of these days that her husband didn't go home anymore. And then yet at night her husband would go home. Every night it started like that her husband would be go you know, her husband would go out, and he wouldn't go home all day. And that woman that didn't have a husband, there was this one woman that didn't have a husband, stayed alone in this village. And that woman started wondering his wife. She thought, maybe she's going with that woman that don't have a husband. You know, she got kind of jealous of her about her husband. And she thought, maybe that woman is going after my husband. So she started watching. Every time she went over to bring some food over there, her husband wouldn't be there in that feasting ground. And then there were days when he would go up and go to the feasting ground. And there was a day that she brought some food up there, and she waited for her husband. And she waited for her husband for a long time. And then yet he wouldn't go up there, and she waited and she waited in the feasting ground. And finally the day came, the hour came or so, when he finally made it over there. And then when he finally went home, she got her son. They had this little boy. She got her son, and he was sitting down over by his side. And he didn't sit over by him. She sat on the floor across from him. Both of them did. The man sat on the floor, and their little baby could crawl, their son. And he was learning how to crawl and then learning how to walk. Both, you know, he was at that age where he could crawl and walk at the same time. But he got tired easily. He was just a baby. And the mother said, go to your father, to the baby. Go to your father. He said, go to your father. So he took off to his father, towards his mother. And then when he reached him, the father said, without picking him up, he said to his son, he said, go back to your mother. Go back to your mother. And then finally they went back and forth, you know, telling him what to do about, you know, go to your father, go to your mother. And then finally when she knew that he wouldn't go to his father, the mother took the baby and then took him out. And then when she went out and she went home, her husband didn't go home again. When she went home, she waited for her husband, and he never went home. Finally, it was after they had got out hunting, she took some food up there to the feasting ground, and then yet her husband wouldn't be up in the feasting ground. It was a tradition in those days for the wife to bring the food up there, and the man should be up there, but then yet he wasn't never up there. And then yet this woman that lived by herself went up there, and then later on her husband went up there. She just walked out, that woman, you know, his wife just walked out and went home, you know, just got kind of frustrated and went over to that woman's house that wasn't married, and decided, well, there must be something that that they, you know, do, so I'm gonna go over there and find out what it is. And then she went inside and she waited for a while, and she tried to find a place to hide. She looked all over, and yet she couldn't find a place to hide. There was nothing. Finally, she took the edge of the wall. There was a crack. She looked at the wall and she said, wall, I want you to open. And then, you know, the crack on the wall opened. And then when it opened, she went on the other side. And then she said again to the wall, okay, go right ahead and get together again. And they did. They got together. But she could see through a crack. She could see that through that crack. if a person went in. And she waited for a long time. And then finally, she heard somebody make a noise, you know, like they were going to come inside. And it was real dark. And that's when everybody that was at the feasting ground started to go home. And she heard somebody coming in. And as she waited, it was that woman that lived there. She recognized that woman. It was that woman that didn't have a husband. She recognized that woman. And she started waiting. And that woman was waiting there. Somebody else started coming in. When she seen it, it was her husband. Her own husband had gone inside that woman's house. And then he sat down on the floor. And then he watched them, you know, to see what they would do. He started watching them to see what they would do. And she had left that little baby. That's one of the reasons why the baby wasn't crying and so forth. She had left him at home. And she went over there and she really watched him. And it was there for a long time that they sat there. And then that woman, she got up. She went over to the bathroom. And she went over and went to the bathroom, you know, hid away from him. And then she handed that bucket over to that man. And, you know, gave it to that man and see what, you know, he would do. That man was still sitting down on the floor. And she handed that thing over to that man where she had gone to the bathroom. And then she said, if you really love me, you'll eat it. If you really love him, you'll eat it. And then, you know, he took that thing and he started to drink it, you know, he shaked it up. And then the minute he put that thing towards his mouth, that woman that was hiding from them made a noise. She didn't know that she made a noise. This is what she said. No, don't eat it, it's dirty. And the minute they mentioned that, or she mentioned something, they looked around to see who made that noise, but they couldn't find anybody. They looked all over. They listened, they went outside, but they couldn't find anything. That man said, listen, there's somebody listening. Maybe from outside. They thought it was really from... They really thought that noise from outside. And they went outside for a while to see if there was anybody around. And he said, no, there's nobody out there. And then he got that thing that she had gone to the bathroom with and drank it. And she didn't say anything anymore. His wife that was hiding. He ate everything that was in that bucket. And she sat there and watched them. And she watched him. She watched her husband. And finally they went to sleep. And then when they went to sleep, she watched them when they went to bed. And then she just watched them and never did anything. And she never said anything again. She never, you know, mentioned anything. When they went to sleep, she just seen him and mentioned something, but she didn't say anything anymore. And she watched him for a while, and she knew what they were doing, but she didn't say anything again. And then finally they went to sleep. When he knew that they had gone to sleep and couldn't wake up anymore, he told those walls to open again. He said, go ahead, part. And they parted as before. And then after he said that, she said, go ahead and heal yourself again. And she went out. And when she went out, she kept thinking. Her mind was broken. Her heart was broken. And then she said, you know, in her mind she said, no wonder he don't love me anymore. It's got nothing to do with her own son anymore because he loves somebody else. He loved this other woman. He don't love us anymore. And it's a wonder. He was running around. That's one of the reasons why she knew now that he didn't love them anymore. And then decide to go away. And then this little boy had a place, you know, this bedding that he had. It was out of caribou. I mean, polar bear skin. And she got that place where he always slept and left. She put the baby on her back. She put her little son on her back and went out. It was in the fall time. But yet it wasn't really that cold. You know, it was in the fall time, but the ice hadn't really formed. And he threw that polar bear skin down in the water in the ocean and went on top of there and started sailing away. And to anybody's surprise, they started floating. And that place where he used to be, where he used to have a diaper, that place was floating. And that woman said, okay, take us away. And they did. They started going right towards Point Barrow. They went right towards Point Hope. And that skin took them right over there, you know, like it was magic. And they started going real fast. The wind blew them over there towards Point Hope. Every time they got sleepy, they'll go to sleep for a while. And she really watched the baby to see that nothing happened. And they traveled, whether it was day or night. And then even in the daytime when they were floating, it was in one of these days, she was watching it, and then she reached land. And she noticed that they were going towards this little land. And they got close to it. And when they got close to it, there was a house up there. They could see it on the in the point, and they went right towards that house. And when they reached it, they went upland. She got off there. She took the baby off too, and she got that skin, and she took that place where the baby's diaper was, and she went up. She started walking up towards this house. And then right by the edge of the water, there was this oar, you know, just a regular oar. It was just standing there. It was on the sand, you know, that it was just a regular oar, just standing there like somebody had, you know, put it on there. And they reached his house, and it was a real huge house. And when he reached it, she grabbed a hold of that oar. The one that was, you know, just standing there by the beach. She started hitting that place where the diaper was, where the baby was, where it had formed eyes. And she started hitting it with the oar so that she could take that ice off. And then, in other words, to clean it. And while she was hitting it, she didn't mean to, but she broke the oar. And then when she broke it, she just set it aside. She, you know, there was nothing else she could do about it. So she went inside this house, the one that was by the beach. There was nobody living in there. I mean, you know, there was nobody home. And when they got on shore, she noticed that there was a place that where there was cache where they keep all these food and everything. And right on the outside of the houses, there was whales, you know, that were cut in half and just stuck by the door and around the edge of the house, and there was food all over. So she went inside, and when she did go inside, everybody, well, you notice that there was nobody home. And then she noticed that there was a lot of food, but she was real hungry. She decided to take a bite to eat because she was real hungry. And she started waiting in there. And then finally, it got to be where it was getting to be nighttime. And she knew that it was getting to be dark, and she noticed that somebody had gone home, whoever lived there. And then that voice, she heard a voice saying, she, you know, whoever that person was that went there said, you know, really, you could hear that voice just griping and mad and everything. And then that person, you know, was really mad and scared and whatnot and said, who was it, that person that broke my wife? And then if I'm going to kill that person if it's a man. But if it's a woman, maybe I'll let her live. And then that woman, you know, was scared. You know, was scared when she mentioned that. But she was glad that she was a woman, because then he wouldn't kill her. And then she could hear that man just griping and said, who was it that killed my wife, that broke her in half? And if you are a woman, you are going to live.